Dive into a journey of awe and wonder as we explore the 15 miracles that testify to God's immense love for mankind. These extraordinary events, recorded in the Holy Scriptures and in the experiences of individuals from all over the world, show us the manifestation of divine power in people's lives and in the world around us. From the healing of incurable diseases to the multiplication of food, these miracles testify to God's infinite love and compassion for His children. Prepare to be inspired and moved by the stories of faith, hope, and redemption found in each of these miracles. Miracle 1. Creation. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Genesis chapter 1 verse 1. Before time and space took shape, there was an infinite void, a total darkness that enveloped the abyss. In that absolute silence, God's voice echoed with a power that initiated existence itself. "Let there be light," He said, and light burst into the cosmos, dividing day from night, beginning the first sunrise and sunset. God contemplated the canvas of the universe and, with each word, painted reality upon it. Waters came together and land emerged. The heavens became adorned with constellations that danced to the rhythm of a celestial symphony. The earth, fertile and generous, sprung forth with vegetation, fruit trees and flowers of countless colors and fragrances. The sky was filled with birds of majestic plumage, and the seas became inhabited with creatures exploring the depths in a watery world of wonder. Then, with unparalleled delicacy and love, God formed man and woman. He breathed the breath of life into them, and they became living beings, reflections of the divine image. He bestowed upon them the Garden of Eden, an earthly paradise, and entrusted them to take care of all creation. This act was not only the beginning of humanity, but also the first testament of the love of God, a love that invites communion and mutual care. Miracle 2, the parting of the Red Sea. Then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord drove the sea back with a strong east wind all night, and turned the sea into dry land, and the waters were divided. Exodus chapter 14, verse 21. The children of Israel, freed from Egyptian slavery, found themselves before an insurmountable barrier, the Red Sea. Behind them, the roar of the Pharaoh's war chariots was approaching, a threat of death and desolation. Desperation took hold of the people, but Moses stood firm, trusting in God's promise. In the darkness of the night, Moses raised his staff towards the sky and stretched out his hand over the waters. A strong supernatural wind began to blow, splitting the sea into two towering walls of water. The dry ground was revealed before them, a path of salvation drawn by the hand of God. The Israelites advanced, surrounded by the force of the contained sea, a living testament to the power and divine protection. At dawn, as the Egyptians recklessly ventured into the sea path, Moses again stretched out his hand, and the waters returned to their place, engulfing the pursuers and marking the end of an era of oppression. The liberation through the Red Sea became an eternal symbol of God's liberating love, a promise that no obstacle is too great when He guides the way. Miracle 3. Feeding the 5,000, and taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, looking up to heaven, He blessed and broke the loaves, and gave them to His disciples to set before them, and He distributed the 2 fish among all. Mark chapter 6, verse 41. On a peaceful afternoon, a crowd had gathered around Jesus in a desolate place. The time was getting late, and people were starting to feel hungry. The disciples, concerned about the need to feed so many, suggested sending them to nearby villages. But Jesus, He had another plan. He asked that they bring Him what they had, 5 loaves and 2 fish. Then, lifting His gaze to heaven, He blessed the food and began to distribute it. As the bread and fish were passed from hand to hand, something miraculous happened. The food did not run out. Each person received enough, and there was still some left. 5,000 men, not counting women and children, were witnesses to this act of divine provision. This miracle not only demonstrated Jesus' power over nature, but also taught a profound lesson about the generosity of the kingdom of God, where faith and obedience result in abundance and blessing. Miracle 4, the resurrection of Lazarus. Jesus said, "Move the stone." Martha, the sister of the deceased, said to him, "Lord, he already stinks, for he has been dead 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Have I not told you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God?" John chapter 11, verse 39 to 40. The news of Lazarus's illness had reached Jesus, but by the time he finally arrived in Bethany, Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Martha and Mary, sisters of the deceased, were grieving. Jesus, deeply moved by the pain that death had caused, approached the tomb. Despite protests about the time that had passed, he ordered them to remove the stone that sealed the entrance. With a voice that defied the finality of death, Jesus called Lazarus to come out. And so, to the astonished gaze of all, Lazarus came out of the tomb, still wrapped in funeral bandages. This miracle was a powerful display of Jesus' authority over death and a tangible promise of God's eternal love, which brings life where there is despair. Miracle 5, the healing of the blind man from birth. Jesus answered, "Neither has this man sinned, nor his parents, but so that the works of God might be manifested in him." John chapter 9, verse 3. In the streets of Jerusalem, a man blind from birth typically sat, depending on the charity of passers-by. His life had been spent in total darkness, never having seen the daylight, the colors of the world, or the faces of those around him. As Jesus passed by him, he saw an opportunity to reveal God's glory. Mixing saliva with dirt, Jesus created a mud that he applied over the man's eyes and instructed him to wash in the Siloam pool. Obeying, the man washed, and for the first time, his eyes were opened to the light. The healing of the blind man was not just an act of compassion, but also a sign that Jesus was the light of the world, capable of opening the eyes of the soul to the truth and love of God. Miracle 6, calming the storm. And he said to them, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" And he arose, rebuked the wind, and said to the sea, "Be still, be silent." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. Mark chapter 4, verse 40 to 41. The disciples and Jesus were in the middle of the Sea of Galilee when a threatening storm broke out, rocking the boat violently. The disciples, consumed by fear in the face of nature's fury, awoke Jesus seeking salvation. With a peace that defied the surrounding chaos, Jesus rose and confronted the storm. With powerful words, he ordered the wind and the sea to calm down, and their obedience was immediate. The great calm that followed was a testament to Jesus' dominion over the elements, a reminder that even in life's fiercest storms, his presence brings peace and safety. Miracle 7, the transfiguration of Jesus. While he was praying, his face changed in appearance and his clothes became dazzling white. Luke chapter 9, verse 29. In the solitude of a high mountain, Jesus took Peter, James, and John with him. While he was praying, his appearance changed before their astonished eyes. His face shone with the light of the sun, and his garments turned a pure, dazzling white. The appearance of Moses and Elijah, conversing with Jesus about his redemptive mission, was a divine revelation confirming his messianic identity. The transfiguration was not only did he show the glory of Jesus as the Son of God, but he also strengthened the faith of his disciples, preparing them for the challenges they would face. Miracle 8, the multiplication of the loaves and the fishes. Then Jesus took the bread and, having given thanks, distributed it to those who were seated, and of the fish as much as they desired. John chapter 6, verse 11. Again, a large crowd had followed Jesus, captivated by his teachings and miracles. As evening fell, the need to feed the crowd became apparent. Jesus, with compassion, took a few loaves of bread and fish, and after giving thanks, he multiplied them. Everyone ate until they were satisfied. Yet, there were still 12 baskets of pieces left over. This miracle was a demonstration of God's provision, satisfying not only our physical needs, but also our spiritual hunger. Miracle 9, the resurrection of Jesus. But the angel answered and said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus, the crucified. He is not here, for he has risen, just as he said." Matthew chapter 28, verse 5-6. The miracle of the resurrection is the cornerstone of Christian faith. After his crucifixion and burial, Jesus conquered death and rose on the third day. The empty tomb and the appearances to his disciples are testimonies of this miracle. The resurrection is the ultimate victory over death and the promise of eternal life, showing that God's love is stronger than any adversity. Miracle 10, the healing of the paralytic at Bethesda. Jesus told him, "Get up, pick up your bed and walk." And immediately the man was healed, and he took his bed and walked. John chapter 5, verse 8-9. In Jerusalem, near the Sheep Gate, was the Pool of Bethesda, known for its healing waters. There, a man had been lying for 38 years, waiting for a miracle. Jesus, seeing him, asked if he wanted to be healed. After the man agreed, Jesus ordered him to get up and walk. Immediately the man got up, healed and free of her affliction. This miracle is a reflection of Jesus's healing power and his love that restores and gives new life. Miracle 11, the healing of the woman with a flow of blood. And Jesus, turning and seeing her, said, "Take heart, daughter, your faith has healed you." And the woman was saved from that hour. Matthew chapter 9, verse 22. In the dusty streets of Galilee, a woman made her way through the crowd, driven by a mix of desperation and hope. For 12 long years, she had suffered an incessant flow of blood, a condition that not only weakened her physically, but also marginalized her socially, considered impure according to the laws of the time. She had spent all she had on medical treatments, but instead of getting better, her condition worsened. When she heard about Jesus, something in her heart ignited. She had heard of his miracles, his compassion, his power. And at that moment, she decided that if she could only touch the edge of his cloak, she would be healed. With trembling faith, she made her way and extended her hand. The contact was fleeting, but the effect was immediate. Her body strengthened, the bleeding stopped, and she knew she had been healed. Jesus, in the middle of his journey, stopped. He felt that power had gone out from him. He looked around and asked who had touched him. His disciples, puzzled by the question amidst a crowd jostling him, did not understand, but the woman, knowing what had happened, came forward trembling and fell down before him. She confessed everything to the crowd. Jesus looked at her with eyes full of love and mercy, and he said, "Take heart, daughter, your faith has healed you." At that moment, not only was her body restored, but also her dignity and her place in the community. This miracle is a testament to Jesus' healing power and how faith, even as small as a mustard seed, can move mountains and overcome any barrier that separates us from God's love. Miracle 12, the resurrection of Jairus' daughter. And taking the hand of the girl, he said, "Talita kumi," which translated is, "Girl, I say to you, rise." Mark chapter 5, verse 41. The news of Jairus's daughter's illness had spread through the village like a somber wind. Jairus, a man of faith and position, found himself in the deepest despair, watching his little girl in the grips of a deadly disease. In his anguish, he had heard of a man who healed the sick and restored hope to the desperate. That man was Jesus. With a pounding heart and urgency marking his steps, Jairus made his way through the crowd to find Jesus, falling at his feet, pleading for his daughter's life. Jesus, moved by the sincerity and desperation of a father, agreed to come with him. there was no time to waste. As they headed to Jairus' house, the crowd followed them, expectant. But then, news came that no one wanted to hear. The girl was dead. "Why bother the master any longer?" they said. But Jesus, with words of comfort and power, urged Jairus to not fear but to believe. Upon arrival at the house, Jesus found a tumult of wailing and lamenting. He entered the room where the girl lay, accompanied only by his three closest disciples and the girl's parents. There, in the face of death, Jesus spoke words of life. "Talita kumi." And the girl, as if awakening from a deep sleep, opened her eyes and got up. Joy and amazement filled the room, and news of the miracle spread even faster than the previous sorrow. Jesus had brought life where there was death, light where there was darkness, and his love and power were manifested once more. Miracle 13, the miraculous catch of fish. Simon answered, "Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything, but because you say so, I will let down the nets." Luke chapter 5, verse 5. The lake of Gennesaret reflected the morning light as Simon Peter and his companions washed their nets after an unsuccessful night at sea. Fishing had been their life, his sustenance, and each night without a catch weighed heavily on his shoulders like an empty net. It was then when Jesus, the Master, approached the shore, followed by a crowd yearning to hear his teachings. Jesus, seeing the boats, asked Peter to take him out to sea to teach from the water. Once his teaching was concluded, Jesus, whose gaze penetrated beyond the shallow waters, instructed Peter, "Cast your nets for a catch." Peter, though skeptical due to the unsuccessful night efforts, decided to trust in Jesus' word. "Upon your word, I will cast the net," he replied. When the nets were submerged into the depths, something extraordinary occurred. Suddenly the nets strained and filled with such a number of fish that Peter had to call his companions to help him. They struggled together, dragging the nets that threatened to break under the weight of the miraculous catch. This miracle was more than a simple provision of fish. It was a lesson of faith and trust in Jesus' word. Peter, astonished and overwhelmed by the experience, fell at Jesus' feet, acknowledging his own unworthiness. Jesus, with a promise of love and purpose, told him, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will catch men." Thus, that day, the filled nets symbolized a greater mission, and Peter's boat became the beginning of a journey that would change the world. Miracle 14, the healing of the leper. And stretching out his hand, he touched the leper, saying, "I am willing, be clean." And immediately the leprosy disappeared from him. Luke chapter 5, verse 13. In a society where leprosy was synonymous with isolation and hopelessness, a man marked by this disease approached Jesus. His skin, once filled with sores and a reason for rejection, was not an impediment to seeking the Master's compassion. With a mix of fear and hope, the leper prostrated himself before Jesus, pleading, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." Jesus, moved by a compassion that transcended social norms, he extended his hand and touched the man. At that time, such an act was unthinkable, for contact with a leper was a cause of impurity. But for Jesus, it was an opportunity to restore not only health, but also human dignity. "I am willing, be clean," he said with authority. And in that instant, the leprosy disappeared, like darkness dissipates with the light of dawn. The man, astonished and grateful, witnessed not only a physical miracle, but also God's unconditional love, which knows no boundaries and seeks to heal all our wounds, both body and soul. Miracle 15, the healing of the centurion's servant. And Jesus said to the centurion, "Go, and as you believed, so shall it be done to you." And his servant was healed at that same hour. Matthew chapter 8, verse 13. Faith has the power to transcend borders. And a Roman centurion demonstrated this, whose servant, was gravely ill. Despite cultural and religious differences, the centurion sought Jesus, convinced of his healing authority. "Lord, I am not worthy for you to enter under my roof, but just say the word, and my servant will be healed," he expressed with a faith that impressed Jesus. This encounter not only highlighted the centurion's faith, but also Jesus's willingness to heal indiscriminately. With a word, Jesus healed the servant, and at that same moment the illness yielded, demonstrating that God's grace is within reach of everyone, regardless of their status or nationality. We have witnessed the profound manifestation of God's love through the 15 miracles we have explored. Each of these extraordinary events reminds us of the constant presence of the divine in our lives and the infinite goodness of our Creator. These miracles are not only testament to divine power, but also of God's compassion, mercy, and unconditional love towards His creation. They teach us that even in the darkest and most desperate moments, we can find hope, healing, and redemption in the divine intervention. May these miracles continue to inspire us to believe in the impossible, to trust in divine providence, and to live with gratitude and humility in the face of the immense love that God has for each of us. Thus, we conclude our journey through the 15 miracles that show God's love, with the hope that these stories will strengthen us in our faith and fill us with the certainty that, in God's love, we find the greatest of all blessings.